Let's start with Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. Heyata Omune Mune Mahamunai Soha. Heyata Verse of praise and mantra. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, his name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms. Dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. Heyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Heyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Heyata om bekanze bekanze Maha Bekanze Bekanze Raja Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Bekanze Bekanze Maha Bekanze Bekanze Raja Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Bekanze Bekanze Maha Bekanze Bekanze Raja Samugate Soha. Heyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Heyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze raja samugate soha. Now the four immeasurables. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. Now the verse in praise and mantra for Chenrezig, the Buddha of great compassion. not veiled by any fault, white in color, whose head a perfect Buddha crowns in light, gazing compassionately at all beings. To you, Chenrezig, all-seeing one, I prostrate. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Now the verse of praise and mantra for Green Tara. Tare liberates from cyclic existence. Tutare liberates from the eight fears. Ture liberates from all sickness. I prostrate to the liberator, Mother Tara. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Soha. 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 Now, setting up the positive motivation for the class. That's why we are chanting, we are reciting Refuge Buddhist prayer to set a positive motivation for the class. Okay. Sanje chadan soje chonam la chanju pandon dane chonsoj. Bage sheje jebe sonam je andon la chanju sanje androfa sho. Sanje chadan soje chonam la chanju pandon dane chonsoj. Bage sheje jebe sonam je andon la chanju sanje androfa sho. Sanje chadan soje chonam la chanju pandon dane chonsoj. Bage sheje jebe Nola Penja Sanjian Romai Show. Hara Lame Mena Miaji, Omoda, Jajim of the Tudjama Jama Jama, such a sort of position didn't be go. Did I see a Tambe Chinji, Chinji, and Dilishi in here? No more I get on the living here to one of the Miagas on the number of Tanja Kid on Dagger Chute and Po. Good morning, Venerable Lamala. Good morning, Venerable Tenzin Lamo. Good morning, Venerable Chuki. Good morning, Venerable Kelsang. Good morning, Domasi. Good morning, Nico. Good morning, Chaitanya Center. Good morning, Kadamba Center. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Meredith. Good morning, Cecilia. Good morning, Elise. Good morning, Renee. Good morning, Nili. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Lee. Good morning, Panditji, Patti. Good morning,
Nora, long time no see. Good morning, David. Good morning, Arlene. Good morning, David. Good morning, Dr. Watkin. Good morning, Borisov Patrick. Good morning, Govina. Good morning, Jessica. Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Fernanda, Marcelo, Patagonia. Good morning, Hen. Good morning, Karen. Good morning, Helen. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Susan. Oh, sorry, the good morning, Vanderbilt Kandola just appeared. Good morning, Sandy. Good morning, William. Good morning, Tara. Good morning, Javier. Good morning, Mary. For anybody watching on YouTube, good morning. Chukila, how are you feeling?
I'm okay, Geshe, thank you.
Today you are feeling better?
Maybe about the same, thanks.
Yeah. Nick, any questions, Tomasi?
Yes, Geshe, we still have a few questions that were asked last week.
Mm.
So I will read them. 2 weeks ago, you taught the first of 4 points of analytical meditation on emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
May I request that today or at any other time that is best, you teach the other 3 points?
Okay, very good. Wonderful question. The next one.
The second question is?
Because first questions require some time, so that's why I just asked to read the second question. So.
The second question is still a request. That you have started to talk about your childhood and your father, and would you like to tell us about your father? Tell us more about that. The third question is, am I the part of me that is reborn over and over again?
Can you repeat that?
Am I the self, the part of me that is reborn over and over again?
Okay.
And then there's one last question. If there is no right or wrong in emptiness, then when it is it appropriate for a Buddhist to take a stand on issues like killing? Two-thirds of Buddhist teachings have to do with the practice of ethics. So can we really trust our ego to provide us with accurate guidance?
Can you repeat the last one, please, one more time?
If there is no right or wrong in emptiness, then when is it appropriate for a Buddhist to take a stand on issues like killing? Two-thirds of Buddhist teachings have to do with the practice of ethics. So can we really trust our ego to provide us with accurate guidance?
Mm. Sorry, I just wake up, so my mind's not clear. Just wake up. So question before that.
The question before that is, am I, or is the self, the part of me that is reborn?
So before that, that's like four-point analysis.
Also a request to talk about your childhood and your father.
Okay, so then the first one. So now here, like, mere self, according to, you know, like, in Buddhism, there's like for the sake of knowledge. You know, in Buddhism, there's like four different systems. The practice and the view, or you could say Tantra. Among those four systems, the Madhyamika Pasankika system is considered the best. The first three is like kind of like preparations, preparing you to understand the best view, refers to Pasankhika view of ultimate truth. So fast three system is kind of like, maybe before the fast three system, maybe you may have different ideas. So then those fast system, three systems, studying them kind of prepare you to, grow your knowledge about ultimate realities. Eventually, it leads to the Pasankhika view of, realities. So in that system, because it is the best among those four systems. So according to that system, mere self, not some, mere self is the one that takes, the form life after life, mere self. So another question is like how you define mere self. Is that consciousness or is it body? So that, it requires like a philosophical analysis or analytical meditation. So to understand what is the mere self, to understand what is the mere self. In order to have clear understanding of mere self, that you need to go through a four-point analysis in order to have better understanding of mere self. Okay? So that is like a answer the questions based on knowledge or based on teachings. Not necessarily based on experience, but based on the teachings taught by Buddha and all these great Narada masters, based on their teachings. And the mere self, the best system, is called Pasankhika systems, Madhyaminga Pasankhika systems. Based on this system, the mere self, that's called life after life. Not the body, not the... So then talk about consciousness, then when it gets to the Vajrayana teachings, then that consciousness is much more profound, so that's part of the ultimate. So new sins, primordial consciousness.
Primordial.
Huh?
Primordial?
Yeah, primordial consciousness. So that's the English word called Nyumsen. According to Tantra teaching called Nyumsen. Shinto is a very, Shinto terms like extremely subtle energy and consciousness. That's the one according to Tantra teaching. That's the one that goes level to life of the consciousness. So then if you are familiar with the death dissolution process or meditations, then you have some ideas what the primordial consciousness is, okay? So that answers that question based on the knowledge, not based on experience, but based on knowledge. So then the second one, if there's no right or wrong, I say if there's no right or wrong,
sorry, I guess I was muted. If there is no right or wrong in emptiness.
Okay, but please pause there. So that question, I'm not sure, first of all my friends here, including myself, emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound. It doesn't mean nothingness. If you think the emptiness is nothingness, then that's nihilism. That's not good. That's one extreme view. So there you are still not free from two extreme view. That means you are not in the middle way. You are like falling in the one extreme view. Probably the not the best one, the nihilism. No? So maybe from the emptiness, shunyata point of view, the right or wrong doesn't exist the way we perceive. You could say that. Technically, that's probably the correct way to say it. From the shunyata point of view, the right or wrong doesn't exist the way we perceive till we realize shunyata. No, it's not right or wrong. It's not like absolute, inherent. It's not like that. No, it all boils down to mere right, mere wrong. You know, like that. Right, wrong do exist, but doesn't exist exactly the way we perceive. I mean, so we're like doesn't exist exactly where we experience, where we perceive before we experience shunyata. You know, right or wrong do exist, but it doesn't exist exactly the way we perceive before we experience shunyata. That's probably technically correct way to say it. So then like, so I agree that Buddhist is so Buddha taught 84,000 scriptures. When you summarize that, it's summarized into three set of teaching. The way you talk, the way here, they're talking in English called three basket. But it's actually three set of teachings. So main subject of these three set of teaching is like ethic, wisdom, samadhi, or concentrations. When you see the, that's for sake of knowledge, you know, when you see the homage to omniscience, that pretty much, not definitely, but pretty much indicate that teachings talk about ethics. That's how you define that teachings going to call duvedine means like teaching of monastic disciplines. That's how you don't need to read whole books, just reading a title, you can pretty much figure out, not definitely, pretty much figure out this teaching belongs to which set of teachings. This teaching belongs to set of teaching that talks about monastic disciplines or ethics. So then, homage to Manjushri, so that pretty much indicates the teachings talks about the wisdoms. Okay? So then homage to all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattva, so their teachings are going to talk about now concentration or samadhi. So the entire Buddha's scripture, 84,000 scriptures, for the sake of knowledge, for you to have a good understanding, summarized into these three set of teachings. The main subject of these three set of teachings are morality, wisdom, concentrations. So of course, then morality is very much part of Buddha's teachings. So now here, the Buddha's teachings, you know, the follower of the Buddhism's Theravada tradition and Mahayana traditions. Theravada tradition is very much focused on the Vinayaka systems, where Buddha talks about ethics, mainly, primarily ethics. There's no permission whatsoever, there's no permissions for taking life, there's no zero permissions. Not that's like totally against. Because why is against ethics? When you talk about ethics, that's why you talk about three draws: verbal, physical, mental. Unethical behavior that relates to the verbal, four of them, physical, three, mental, three, that then becomes number 10. So that's mainly ethics. So now, in what are the tradition, there are some exceptions. Probably when beyond or when above experience wise, meditative experience wise, much, much deeper intellectual understanding is very much tremendously grow, like way beyond, like probably Vinayaka systems, way beyond. So then there, you know, like, so you see this like wrathful aspect of the deities that appears very wrathful looking, which very symbolized that how to utilize the energy that produced by anger, how to utilize that into your own benefit. Directly your own benefit, indirectly benefit of all mothers and beings. That about the tradition you can do, you cannot do, because that experience is not deep enough, knowledge is not broad enough. That about the tradition, in Vajrayana traditions, that's why you see this wrathful looking deity. What that indicates, it indicates there is a way to utilize anger of your energy for your own benefit and benefit of all mother sentient beings. Then you see the deity with the consort, but they indicate that where to utilize the energy of attachment to gain one's own benefit and benefit of all our mother sentient beings, which refers to enlightenment or like a Vajradhara state. So they are a little bit different. There's two things a little bit different. So there are certain bugs, certain bugs that grow in the tree. They grow from the tree. The very bugs that eat the tree, that eat the wood or tree or wood, whatever it is, wood. Very energy that grow out of attachment will cease the attachment. Very energy that grow out of anger will cease the anger. See, so that doesn't happen in Theravada tradition. Doesn't happen before Vajrayana tradition. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in the Sudrayana path. It only happens in Vajrayana path. The attachment itself basically destroys attachment. Anger itself destroy anger. So that, you know, Sudarana part, that's almost impossible. So that's why the deity with the concert, wrathful looking deity, that all kind of indicates there's like way to utilize receiving a pleasure, just looking at, you know, like a concept, just looking at that. In Kriya Tantra, just looking at that, the amount of pleasures or like attachment that grows, just looking at Kriya Tantra, Chaya Tantra, laughing, Yoga Tantra, touching, then higher Yoga Tantra, hugging, all of that. That driven by attachment, but that all that itself will destroy the attachment. Am I making any sense? Tata means look. Gu means laugh. Lakchang means touch. Chu means hug. Tata, Gueda, Lakchang. That's how this fourth classic of Tantra is laid down precisely. Likewise, the bugs that grow out of wood, the very wood that kind of help that bugs to be alive. That very bugs that very lock that helps the bugs to be alive, that bugs will eat, finish their wood, basically eating that. Similarly, looking, pleasure, attachment, looking, laughing, touching, hugging, that attachment will destroy that attachment, the very attachment that produced those things will destroy that attachment. Make sense? Am I making any sense? Huh? Maybe not.
Yes, sir. This is Nico. Question. So when we're talking about attachment neutralizes attachment, that's Mahayana?
Oh, Nico, okay, Nico. Okay, yeah. Say it again, please. Say it again.
So the difference between Theravada and Mahayana is you've mentioned attachment neutralizes attachment.
Different between like Sutrayana, Theravada, and Vajrayana.
Vajrayana, yeah.
Vajrayana. Of course, Vajrayana is part of Mahayana practice.
Right.
You know, within the Mahayana, that's called Sutrayana and Tantrayana or Vajrayana, same thing. Vajrayana, okay, in Vajrayana teachings.
Oh.
In the Vajrayana teachings, that attachment destroyed attachment, anger destroyed anger. Makes
Thank
sense?
You. Yes.
So Vajrayana, in Vajrayana teaching, okay, Nico, in Vajrayana teachings, Vajrayana teaching is part of Mahayana, but Mahayana, there's two, Sutrayana and Vajrayana. It only happened in Vajrayana teachings, okay? Maya. Oh, this is, so I'm not sure why that, yeah, so in generally speaking, yeah, Buddhist teachings, very much based on ethics, you know, particularly, not particularly, all of them. Mahayana, Sutrayana, Theravada, Sutrayana, no, Sutrayana and like Mahayana, Vajrayana, all embrace ethics. But something that sounds unethical in Vajrayana teaching is not really unethical. It's very much part of ethics, but different approach. Okay? So then the last part, I think, like, if in emptiness, if there's no right or wrong, so that's finished now. Second part, and that's also finished.
So the second part of the question, when is it appropriate for a Buddhist to take a stand on issues like killing? And can we really trust our ego to provide us with accurate?
The last one, that's like, you know, like Buddhist teaching 100% stands on against killing. There's no, like, killing is not advisable, you know. And I said exception, there in my Vajrayana teaching, there's some exceptions. To one's own benefit and benefit of other living beings. It's not like a mundane gain. There's nothing to mutually gain. There's like totally welfare of yourself and welfare of all the other living beings. Okay? So now ego. So now here. Yes. So now what do you say? Can we trust ego? Maybe please say something. Can you trust ego? You know, if you refer ego to sense of self, you know, you say I, I think you have to faith. You have to have faith in yourself, otherwise nothing will happen. So now what do you say? Can you trust your ego? What do you say?
Geshe-la, Don has his hand up. Maybe he would want to address
Dr. Brown, yeah, please, Dr. Brown, say something, yeah.
Hello?
Brother Brown, you are teaching without word, cannot hear. Are you self-realizer? Self-realizer, they teach without word. Brother Brown? Brother Brown? Yeah, we cannot hear, so maybe you have to show physically what you're saying. Can hear. Teaching without word. Brother Brown, you said so many things we couldn't hear. A word. So, okay, take your time, but we want to hear, but we cannot hear. What do you call that? Like some kind of play that you imitate? What do you call?
Oh, charades, maybe?
Yeah, so you sometimes say that you imitate, like to try to figure out the word.
Pantomime.
Yeah, whatever that is. So in Tibetan, it's called teaching without word. I think Dr. Brown is continuously teaching without word, so I'm not sure how many of us we have karma to hear.
Hold down the space bar while you're talking, and it should unmute you.
Michael ran into this in morning meditation. He had to restart his computer.
Oh. So we just need to go into Vajrayana and just visualize. Heard everything Dr. Brown said. Yeah, while Dr. Brown is figuring out, anybody wants to say something? Maybe then when Dr. Brown appears, nobody appears, so then we can listen.
Okay, so your question was, can we trust the ego, right?
Yeah, so anybody want to say something, can we trust the ego? You go on and on.
So Geshe-la, I got a text that said, when the questioner said there is not right or wrong in emptiness, maybe they were referring to transcending dualistic mind. Let me say that again. When the questioner said there is no right or wrong in emptiness, maybe they were referring to transcending dualistic mind.
Because the dualistic mind, I understand that. What is transcending?
Going above, going beyond.
Going beyond dualistic mind?
Yes.
So that means experiencing shunyata directly. Without experiencing shunyata directly, it's impossible to go beyond dualistic view. Okay? In order to go beyond dualistic view, you need to experience shunyata directly. So that means you are talking about meditative equipoise. Meditative equipoise. There's, you are, when you are in that state, you are free from dualistic view called Ninam. In Tibetan words called Ninam. Of course, there's gross, subtle, so when you reach the 10 bhumis, so kind of cease this subtle dualistic view. So when you get enlightened, so then you are free from that subtle dualistic view.
So Geshe-la.
Oh, Dada Brahm, now finally our karma happened. We don't have now karma to hear teaching without a word. Okay, Dada Brahm, yeah, please say.
Well, what was the question, Geshe-la? What was the question? I want to be clear what I'm saying. Supposed to say anyway.
Can we trust ego?
Oh.
Or can we trust Dada Brahm's ego?
It's gotten me in a lot of trouble.
Huh?
I said my ego's gotten me in a lot of trouble.
So question is,
I think there's a nominal I, which we all have, which is the valid one, and then there's inflated sense of self that we cling to that creates all this negative karma and suffering, and it's very deceptive. I mean, it can tell us, oh yeah, this is a great idea, I'm doing this for all the right reasons, but it's our, you know, our ego. And I remember, you know, George Dreyfus came here, you know, Venerable Sangye Sundar. He was a professor at Williams College, really the first Larumpa Geshe from the West. Anyway, George came here one time and he said, we just have to be so careful because we have enormous potential for self-deception. When we think that we're doing something for the right reason, unless we have realized emptiness, we're going to be motivated mostly by self-centeredness, by ego. And that's always going to lead to suffering. It's just all the negative actions of body, speech, and mind are predicated on this self, misperception of self. I, me, me. So that's, I think, where that's coming from.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, of course, everything Dada Brahm says, it has to make sense.
I've been wrong a lot, Geshe-la.
No.
What do you think, Geshe-la?
Yeah, in this case, you are not wrong. So I know George Dreyfus. I know because I met him many times in the monastery. He used to come to my teacher, you know, to ask all kinds of questions. I know him quite well. So he doesn't seem like that he's very careful about ego when he was in the monastery.
I knew him when he was a monk, and I also knew him as a professor.
Yeah.
Different person. But still, interesting guy.
He has this mala. He's always like playing his mala. He's always goes like this. He comes to my house many times, so because I live very close by my teacher, he comes there, and he's always like playing his mala. So I'm not sure now he actually has mala or not. He's always going like this, like something like that's how he talks. He is like a first Western Geshe Larampa. Actually, he's in like dialectic. He studied in dialectic school in Dharamsala, not in Sera or Devangaja. But
right.
Of course,
dialectic
institute. He is like he's a Western, first Western. That time he's not Geshe, he's becoming close to Geshe. He has a lot of privilege. He can just go to any teacher that he goes now, like ask for. He met many, many great teachers in my monastery, Sera and Debun Gandhi. So my teacher is also very like scholar. So he also comes to him, asks about questions about, you know, from the Abhidhamma Kosha. And then particularly he's interested about like Buddhist, like the epistemology. Epistemology, how you say?
Epistemology.
Yes, epistemology. Probably, I think he also wrote a book about that. He studied not just studied like different lineage, Nyingma, Kajut, Sarja, all about, you know, whoever writes about this. So epistemologist, he probably wrote the book in English.
Geshe-la, Venerable Kondo has her hand up.
Well, yes.
Yeshua, this is a very non-philosophical view on this question, which is one of the things, when these holy beings have realized emptiness directly and full enlightenment, one of the things that happens to us ignorant beings yet is that what may be of greatest benefit, what they do or don't do, may look wrong compared to our traditional ethics.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the wisdom to know.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
And then the other thing is, if we waited to do generosity, ethics, patience perfectly, we'd never get anywhere. So it's part of, for me, it's part of renunciation, wanting to get out of samsara so I can, whatever. But so we have to start, I start where I am with the best motivation I can have, knowing that even now my motivation can't be perfect. That's how I live with comfort in the fact that I don't have Shanada. I don't know if that helps at all, people, but that's a non-philosopher's view of this. Thank you.
Laura, what is your name or your grandson?
Gianni.
Oh, Gianni. Hello. How are you? Good. Next time I'll bring my friend, okay? Today I forgot. I have one friend that talks. Maybe next time I'll bring. So in ego doesn't like has how to say Yeah, ego is very much looked down in Buddhist teachings. But one of the, I think, Kadama Master kind of praise Jisola Tawa Sanjik Duinos kind of says like it's the central pillar of the enlightenment. You know, so anyway, so now the problem here is like ego or self. And I can't talk on your behalf. I'm just talking about on myself. I'm not talking about on your behalf. So see, myself is pretty much guided by my mind. This is not a true experience. This is also based on teachings. No, this has nothing to do with my experience. So self-guided, but precisely lead or guided by mind. Mind basically in the controlling self, not the self is the one in the controlling mind. Mind is in the controlling self. And that very mind, if that mind is follows afflictions. So then all complications rise. If that mind follows loving kindness, compassion, you know, all these positive things, so then self will be in better, much better positions. So therefore, why we do samadhi meditations, why we do shamatha meditation, samadhi meditation, why we are trying to be mindful, because mind is, self is ruled by mind, mind is, generally speaking, ruled by, you know, if the mind is ruled by afflictions, so then no matter how many times we say things, life will become more complicated. So if that mind, so that's why we meditate, do samadhi meditation, Samatha meditations, and mindfulness very part of, core part of Samadhi, core part of Samatha, both meditation require mindfulness. So then mindfulness allows you to make sure that your mind is not guided by afflictions. And you are trying very hard to that your mind to seeking the leader of that mind is something positive. So then self will be much, much better position, because self is not going anywhere. It's like your permanent roommate. There's no going anywhere. It'll be there, it'll be this life, in this life, it'll be next life, not going anywhere. Only thing that we can do is to make sure that, because self is ruled by our mind, make sure that mind is guided by something positive virtue. So therefore, samadhi is, even the samadhi is, every primary consciousness does have samadhi, but it's not strong enough. Every part of the primary consciousness comes with attention, but it's not strong enough. It's not fully developed. Every primary mind comes with this as a five omnipresent mental factors. Among those essences there, samadhi is there, but it's not strong. We are not starting from zero. It's already something there. So we just need to improve, to develop. Okay, so there's a very core reason why we do samadhi meditation based on breathing, based on physical movement, based on walking. And shamatha you can do by walking. Samadhi you can do by walking, physical movement. Shamatha, all of the walking, physical movement become distractions. No, samadhi, shamatha, that like means single-pointed meditation. Can just walk and move, physical movement. This all become distractions. Even like practice of generosity become distractions. You know, shamatha means single-pointed meditations. Both meditation, mindfulness is crucial part of that. Without that, we are not going to succeed in this samadhi meditation or shamatha meditation. And so that's important to understand. Samadhi, you can do physical movement, walking meditations. Samadhi can be done, but shamatha requires single-pointed meditations, okay? So why we do that? We want to make sure that we very mind that control self. Make sure that mind guided by something virtue. That's why we do samadhi meditation or shamatha meditation. Okay, so that's my view. So now the question that can you trust ego? So it's very much that if the ego is guided by bodhicitta, a power you can trust. The ego is guided by arrogant pride, jealousy, anger, attachment, then probably you need to think twice. You know, ego is much bigger, much broader. So if you're referring the ego to self, it will not go anywhere. It will be there. Okay? So, anything else?
Geshe-la, there's a follow-up on this conversation right now.
Whoever asked this question of four-point analysis, this is very, very important. This is very good questions, very important questions. So I think we touched a little bit on the first-point analysis, you know. So this is only for if you ever wonder, well, what are true truth, conventional truth, ultimate truth, what's ultimate truth? Oh, so then you need to know this four-point analysis. Why is it important? There's Lama Tsongkhapa, Lama Atisha, all this great master experience shunyata based on this four-point analysis meditations. It's been tested, it's been taught, so that's why in order to experience shunyata directly or indirectly, four-point analysis very much needed in meditations. In order to meditate, first we have to understand what are those four-point analysis. first one, then Chukila kindly explained quite well, object of negations means trying to analyze the notion of self. Notion of self, okay? Mm-hmm. So what's happening, so that's, I want to add a few things. What's happening here? What's happening in day-to-day life? What's happening in reality? What's happening? We have, generally speaking, there's like reality, one thing, reality. Appearance, how it appears, appearance, how it appears. Then believing in. Okay, so example here, these three things very important, the example. The analogy that widely uses in Madhyamika Prasangika systems. So that's why this question kept last because it requires some time to explain. So now think about the piece of rope, like color, not just rope, the colorful rope. In the place that you are not familiar, it's not near your house, not familiar. Some place that you are not familiar, that place. And there's not much light, it's kind of like early morning, could be dark, you know, so then rope is like, there's like colorful rope, like probably school, because there's like scrolling?
Coil.
What's the, here, now in this case, what is the reality? Reality is colorful rope, that's the reality, colorful rope. There's a reality. There's a fact. There's a reality. How it appears to you? It appears to you as a snake. It appears to you as a snake. What's reality? It's a rope, colorful rope. It appears to you as a snake. Now there's two things. You believing in you believing in how it appears. It appears as a snake, you believe in. What happened next? Anxiety, fear, stress, physical, related to the physical body, of course related to the mind. This means a ripple of things happens. Based on what? Reality. What is that? Colorful rope. Appearances. For you, it appears as a snake. Not just that. No, so just something that appears as a snake doesn't generate fear, anxiety, believing in. So then all kinds of things. So now, how are you going to overcome from that fear, anxiety? You need to find out the fact, reality. What is the reality? Colorful rope. Minute you realize it's colorful, right? Colorful rope. Appearance is snake, gone. Believing in snake is a snake, is gone. Fear, anxiety generated by that, gone. Similarly here, Now talk about the self. So now apply the same logic to the self when you do meditation. What's the reality? Self is the reality. How it appears? Or it appears as like a kind of like a good looking, like clean face. I'm not talking about my face. No, my face, like, no clean face. No, like, nice, maybe mustache, you know, white mustache, nice mustache, but every different appearances that appear. If you believe or that's you, so then anything, anxiety, stress that's generated by that, so now that's how the identifying object of negation is being explained like that. No, this is very important. Three things. Because eventually, what happens that you used to think everything, including self. You once used to think it's not real. Now that kind of melted away, kind of like beginning to melt and disfigure and change shape, including self. So that's exactly what I mean. So when you come out of the material of shunyata, perception change according to teachings, it's almost like you just wake up from your dream. So many things, you are chased by elephant, you couldn't run, and you are like shortage of breath. When you awake, it's all happening in dream, all this stress, anxiety, everything that happened in dream. When you awake, it's just memory. It really didn't happen that exactly the way you perceive. It did happen, but it didn't happen exactly the way you perceive or experience. And then when you wake up and then you realize a dream, same thing when you come out of the material of shunyata, when you look around, everything goes like that. Like, oh, this is so serious. No, it's not serious. So, you don't judge, because then you just, as I said, you see, not really worry about the detail, you just see as it appears. There's nothing to judge, there's nothing to comment, it just appears as they are. It's not superimposed, exaggerated, it's just like child looking at things. They are not worried about the details, they just look at as they are. They are not really, they are not making comment, they are not judging. Just look, they just... So... Yeah, almost like illusions. So then like, see, if you see like now the second part, particular second part, third part, and the fourth part, please, you say there's some time left. Yeah, not time. So maybe can you say that again one more time in English, so then person whoever asked this probably has some interest to understand about shunyata. That's very good. The first one is identifying gajang minzu, or Tibetan words called gajang minzu, is identifying the object. Second one is called chabang yivene, is talking about some kind of privations.
Yeah, Geshe-la, the second point is understanding the pervasion, or like determining the choices.
If you can explain like based on your ability to like, people to understand that like, the language sometimes when it gets to this kind of gets scholarly language, I'm not sure sometimes people don't understand what they're saying. Can you make it more like?
Yeah, so my understanding, Geshe-la, is that it's like trying to understand all the possible ways that something can exist. And so they call that, you know, determining the choices or the options or the privation.
Yeah, here's what is happening. If you think the self is in the physical body, okay, so then Chukila will explain.
Yeah, so when we talk about the body, well, the body and mind, we say there are five aggregates, right? There's the one of body and the four of mind. And so when we see the ways that something can exist, they either have to exist identical with or one with those aggregates, or they need to be completely separate from them.
So this is the second point analysis. So then the third?
So that's like understanding it not being one, or analyzing oneness,
yeah, self is not one with the body, so now there's a lot of counter-argument, So then that kind of your assertion, so you think, I'm with my body, I'm one with my body. So then people kind of continue to debate. So then, you eventually have to let your assertion to go. You can't just hold on that, even though logically it doesn't make sense. That's the third one. So then you realize, you say, it's not one with my body. There's all kinds of like counter-arguments. So then fourth one.
And the fourth one is analyzing the difference or, understanding that it's not separate, that the self is not separate from the part.
Yeah, if they're separate from your prime aggregate, so then, there's many, for you. First of all, you can't say, I'm sick. My head hurt, then you have all these many things you can say because you are separate. Okay, so these are the four point analysis. If it doesn't make sense, so maybe next Sunday in the beginning of the class, we'll spend more time there. Okay, it's not that a shorter period of time, it's not going to. So thank you very much for all of your questions. Now time is running out, and especially thanks to Linda, Venerable Lamula always leads the prayers, and all our Venerable nuns always here. Believe or not, you're seeing them to create positive merit, just seeing them. So then the Dhamma Seed, each and every one of you. So now time is run out. So they'll see next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday. Oh.
Let's read the dedication verses from Master Shantideva. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth. Those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Now the long life prayers, first for His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. The long life prayer for Lama Sopa Rinpoche. I'm sorry, for Sarajay Kinsa Rinpoche, Rosandana. The one who masters his speech at a very young age. The one of great patience receives the name Avatar. The one of great decision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void. Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. Now the long life prayer for Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche. You who pull the subduers more away, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjanas, the purest doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, these please live long. And seven Tara mantras for Geshe Gelug and Geshe Sangpo's long, happy, healthy lives. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
Well, again, thank you very much. And children, Alexander, thank you very much for translating Pure Back in Patagonia. And all of you, have a wonderful Sunday. And anybody, people at the center, have a wonderful Sunday. And people on YouTube, have a wonderful Sunday. See you next Sunday.
Thank you, Yashila.
Thank you, Yashila.
Thank you, Yashila.